Good morning. It's an honor to be here. Most of you know who I am. However, we may have a few visitors. My name is Stephen, and Pastor Ralph has asked me to preach this morning as he and Pastor Sue are getting some much-needed R&R and enjoying the company of their son and daughter-in-law in Elder Grove. That's a big event in their family because their son has taken a new pastoral position, moving from Kamloops to Elder Grove, and I believe it's a satellite church of the Abbotsford Church. Now I'm getting into deeper water here, so I better not try to give too many details. My background is that I've been a Christian pastor in the Lutheran Church for 25 years. My only fault was that I was very much interested and involved in the charismatic, Holy Spirit-filled idea of things as well as the Lutheran Church. So I ended up here. And 25 years of good ministry, a lot of young people ministry, a lot of what we call confirmation classes, a chance to influence teens in understanding the Christian faith and truth in an organized way. So those are good years. And 13 years as a city bus driver, so I changed congregations. They didn't always pray with me, but I prayed for them, you know, as I got them on the bus and got them off the bus. Yeah, you see Victoria from the inside when you're a city bus driver. So Pastor Ralph asked me to kick off a series that will continue for the following Sundays. And this is the I Am series. And we'll explain that in more detail, what that's all about. Jesus made a lot of I Am statements, and they weren't just trivial either. They were quite earth-shaking. He used this phrase in his preaching, if you want to call it that, or his proclaiming to the people, and they knew what he was talking about, and they either had to accept that he was someone very great standing in front of them, or else some sort of usurper or imposter, a religious imposter, and they had to make a decision when they heard Jesus' I Am statements. He said things like, I am the good shepherd. And next week, Chris will be preaching on that. Chris Green, our youth pastor. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. No small statement. He said, I am the light of the world. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I mean, you and I get up in the morning and we say, I am tired, you know. Or we say, I am hungry. Or, I am bored. Jesus says things like, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the way, the truth, and life. Just, you know, a few notches above where we're at in our I am statements. Very heavy statements. Today, we're looking at Jesus, another I am statement in John chapter 15. And I'm not up there to project it on the board, but if you have a Bible, John 15 in verses 1 to 5, he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. He or she bears much fruit. And then he says, for apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. Yeah. Golly. There's so many people out there in the world that are trying to do something without Jesus. Right? Good and bad. But Jesus says, what is he talking about there? What kind of fruit and what kind of result is he talking about, such that if we are not remaining in him, whatever it is we have done and tried to do ends up being nothing? He must be talking about some kind of fruit that is so lasting and powerful and blessed that it stays. It has an effect for eternity. Eternity. And then Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Why does he talk like that? Why does he say, compare us to branches on a vine? Well, obviously, first of all, we know in that country, and well, here in British Columbia too, we have lots of vines that are grapevines, right? And we know that they are carefully cultivated. We know that much of it goes into the production of wine, and that's something that is always in demand. And so there is something there that Jesus is pointing out that has to do with how important a securely connected branch is, has to be connected to the vine in order to what? To bear fruit. It's pretty obvious, but it's a good illustration. Now, before we go any further with that, let's go back to the I am part of what Jesus is saying, because that has a really interesting history. It, in fact, goes back, it harkens back and to the time of Moses starting his career, you might say. He is a sheep herder out in the desert. He was once the prince of Egypt. He was once brought up in Pharaoh's palace. Wasn't there an animated cartoon by Disney? Am I getting that right? The Prince of Egypt? And that was about Moses. But he took a tumble. He got upset with one of his countrymen being beaten by an Egyptian, and then he killed him and had to run for his life, became an exile. Well, he's out there for years and years and years, and all he's doing is herding sheep, and he sees this bush that is apparently burning and yet not being consumed by the fire, and he goes to see what it is, and this voice speaks to him out of the bush, and he is astonished, and he realizes he's talking to God. And the voice says, take off your sandals. This is holy ground. He's in the presence of the eternal God. And they have a conversation, and it turns out that God wants Moses to leave his job herding sheep and go back to Egypt from where he fled as the prince and start negotiations to set the people free, to set his own countrymen, the people of Israel, free from slavery to Pharaoh. And this is a big adjustment for Moses. He's gotten quite used to being a sheep herder, I'm sure. And so they kind of negotiate a little bit, but in the end, Moses says, okay, I'll go. But, if I go to my countrymen and I tell them that God sent me, and they might ask, but what is his name? Because the Egyptians have lots of gods, and so which God are you telling us sent you? And from the bush, God says, you shall tell them, I am who I am, has sent you. Now, it comes out kind of awkward in English. I'm sure it sounds smoother in the language of Moses in Hebrew. But I am who I am is the meaning of God's name. And so we have a very special designation. The Bible translators try to let us know when I am who I am is the actual name given for God. Otherwise, we use the term God for quite a few of the names, right? And in the old King James, in the 1600s, when they made that classic translation of the Bible into English, it came out as Jehovah. That's where we got the name Jehovah. It's from Moses hearing from God say, my name is I am who I am. Now, when we transliterate the letters, and by the way, the Israelites considered this name, and the Jewish people considered this name so holy that they, I think, in some cases wouldn't say it, or they, when they wrote it, they would only write the consonants of the name of God in their Hebrew language. So, I mean, for me, Stephen, it would be like writing my name as S-T-P-H-N, right? So for this name of God, they abbreviated it, and I'm changing from Hebrew letters to English letters. Let's just say Y-H-W-H. Y-H-W-H. So other translators thought, well, Jehovah, I don't know about that. Maybe, how about Yahweh? So other translations will come up with the name of God as Yahweh. And then there's, you could also try to make it more like the name of Jesus and call it Yeshua, which is actually Joshua, very similar to the name of Joshua. And but what was God really saying when he said, I am who I am? He was saying, I'm not an ordinary, fallible God like the Greeks or the Roman gods or the ancient Canaanite god Baal or something like that. He said, I am the self-existing God. I am the God that depends on no one else for my existence. I always was, I always am, and I always shall be forever. Wow. Well, that's the God who's sending Moses back to Egypt and to set his people free. Yeah. Now think about connecting that to Jesus saying, I am. All right, just make that beginning connection. Consider what God is doing. He's making himself personal and available, and at the same time, he is the eternal, self-existing creator God. And he's making himself personal and available to his chosen people, who begins with the nation of Israel, the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Consider how you have famous people trying to make themselves feel personal and available, even if it's just through a television screen, right? You have Dr. Phil, right? I mean, you don't call him by his proper, you know, formal name. He's Dr. Phil. And you have Oprah, right? And good old Oprah. And then you have, for the financially minded people, you have Susie Orman, right? And so they're all trying to make themselves feel personal and available to you, the viewer, on the screen. Well, God is personal and available also to us. He loves us that much, even though he is so vast on an entirely amazing scale. And yet, like the Israelite, the Jewish people who wouldn't write the whole name down, they would drop the vowels, or who wouldn't say the name because it was too holy, it was almost as though they were backing off. And although God was saying, I am personal and available, they were saying, oh, but maybe we'd better stay away. That's kind of sad, isn't it? When people do that, when people back off and think of God as being too far away to be for them. He's for you. He's personal and available for you. How have you looked at God as you go home and your house and you're doing your housework or you're doing your chores or you're relaxing and maybe the thought of God crosses your mind and how do you regard him? Do you see him as there, right there, with you, for you? Or is he, oh, well, you know, that huge supernatural being we left at church on Sunday? You know, we have to ask ourselves that. So now, 1,600 years after Moses, Jesus shows up making statements that I've read, I am statements. And these Jewish people, Israelite people in Jesus' day, they were pretty well versed on their history. They knew a lot about where they came from, and they knew that I am who I am is the name of their God, right? And now this rabbi is saying, I am, followed by some huge thing. What's going on? Well, this same Jesus is like Moses, but greater than Moses. Moses was sent to Israel to be God's channel to set the people free from slavery, right? Now, if you look carefully in your Gospels and in the Bible, you see Jesus saying, someone greater than Moses is here. Jesus is also, he is a super Moses. He's an uber Moses. He's a deliverer sent by God to set all his people free from sin and death, from the slavery that comes to people who are under the condemnation and the curse of sin. He is indeed a great one, greater than Moses, and he typifies himself. He says, I am the good shepherd. So we're back to that picture too. He also, like God speaking out of the burning bush, seeks to be personal and available to you. He is personal and available to you. Just because he's ascended back to heaven, don't think of him as far away. He has sent his Holy Spirit, as Einar has mentioned. He has sent his Holy Spirit. He is personal and available to each one of you. Don't count yourself out. Don't say, well, he means this person next to me or that person over there or the one I know who always goes to church. He's also personal and available to every person out there in the neighborhood if they only will allow him to be personal and available. He's not just for us because we're here. He's for everyone who will come to him. Don't forget to tell them that when you go home. Don't forget to encourage your neighbor that way and say, you know what? I heard this pastor say, Jesus is personal and available for you. That's the kind of God he is. He didn't come all this way and spend all this time, you know, 3 years among us and go through all of that suffering on the cross just to go away from us again. He did it to connect us, right? He died on the cross so that the justice of God would be satisfied, so that what stands between us and God, so that God doesn't have to have something against us anymore, so that we can be washed of that condemnation, set right before God, and loved by him, cared for by him. So that all we need to do is say, okay, yeah, I'm in. I'm in. I have a thought flowing through my head. Sometimes I'm trying to keep it under control and keep it on a straight track, but I'm just going to throw in something. I like to sometimes take a look at what's on YouTube with interesting discussions. I think it was called Bumblebee or something was interviewing Elon Musk. It was a long interview. It was over an hour. There's three young guys asking him various questions. Very interesting interview. They came to the end, and I found out they were Christians. And they asked Elon Musk if he'd like to receive Jesus as his personal Savior. On the video, on YouTube. I have to take a clip of it and show it to you sometime. He kind of reviewed Jesus. He thought, well, he's got good teachings, and I like what he says. And he put it this way, if I remember it correctly. I'm trying to be accurate. If he's able to save, I'd like to be part of that. Well, I just have to get that clip sometime and review it. But I'm trying to remember the name of the interviewers. It was something like Bumblebee, or try looking it up, try Googling it on YouTube. Bumblebee and Elon. So that was amazing. Let's spread the word and let's bring it out to our neighborhood and our community as well. I am the vine, you are the branches. I was mentioning this to my pastor brother-in-law in a conversation just yesterday, I think was his birthday, 2 days ago. And he says, well, don't forget to tell people that the vine dresser is not in a big hurry to cut off the branches of the vine, because pretty soon you'd have nothing left to bear fruit. You basically destroy your vineyard if you get too, you know, ambitious with your clippers and cut too much off. But no, the vine dresser is trying to preserve, right? Trying to preserve the branches, and that's the attitude of God toward us. He's not in a big hurry to cut us off. He wants to keep us, nourish us, help us stay connected, and make it possible for us to bear good fruit. I like to call it righteousness, fruit of righteousness, right living. And I like the illustration of, I happened to see a testimony on Christian TV with a woman who was opening up about her life. And I thought, wow, she's really hitting something here. She said that she had received Jesus, but kind of like a branch that's just, you know, weakly connected to the vine. She'd go to church, but then she'd feel this tug to go to the pub and to look for, as she put it, love in all the wrong places. Does anybody identify with that? Look for love in all the wrong places, and then she'd get in a relationship, and then it would disappoint and hurt her, and then she'd fall out of that and be broken again and go back to church and be stuck between these opposite extremes. And but here's what she did. She said she had a devotional time, probably in her home with the Lord, and prayer and seeking and trying to understand what's going on. And she wasn't letting go. That's good to her credit. And it was as though Jesus came and had said to her in her heart, "What are you looking for?" Obviously, when she goes to the pub. "What are you looking for?" Oh. So she started to think about that, and she came up with a whole list. "I'm seeking connection," she said. And what do you suppose Jesus said to her? "You're connected to me," right? And then she said, "I'm looking for love." And what do you think Jesus said to her? "No one loves you more than I do," right? And the list went on: friendship, intimacy, appreciation, and so on. She was looking for all these things. And obviously Jesus was saying, "I can provide you with all these things. I can nourish you as a vine nourishes its branches and produces good fruit." And she received that, and a while later, she was in church worshiping God. Like, maybe she had times when she didn't feel like it because she was so broken from what happened in the pub, but she still kept seeking God, having her devotional time still there. And she was in worship, maybe on a Sunday, and all of a sudden, it was as though God had wrapped his arms around her. And she just broke down, and she was weeping. And suddenly, she felt as though she were only 6 years old. A little girl, lonely and lost. And she just felt Jesus wrapping his arms of love around her, and she broke apart in a good way, and she felt that she was being restored. She was being healed by the Lord Jesus in a personal way. And she didn't need to go back to the pub. Praise God. Praise God for every situation in which the branch that is weakly connected gets strongly connected and bears much fruit. I'm sure this woman has something to give others now. I'm sure she has something that encourages and strengthens and helps others find the right path. What a wonderful thing that we have Jesus helping us in that way. And it was the Holy Spirit. It was Jesus through the Holy Spirit working in that woman's heart and life and working in our lives as well. Jesus said he will never abandon us, never leave us nor forsake us. What a wonderful thing that is. I just like to use for illustration of fruit and righteousness coming out of even the most difficult circumstances. I just love the story of Joseph in the Bible, right? Because here you have someone who is one of the forefathers of the nation of Israel. This is going back before the time of Moses, when it was just an extended family. That's all Israel was. And you have one of the brothers being abusively betrayed and sold into slavery by his brothers. This is the holy family of Jacob doing this, right? And he ends up being enslaved on a caravan, sold in Egypt, goes through a number of situations in which he is betrayed even further and ends up in a dungeon. A long story short, through all the abuse and difficulty that Joseph suffered, he must have developed a close connection to God, because there were times when that was all he had. And maybe for people you know, maybe even for yourself, there have been times when that's all you had in life or in the world. And what an amazing thing that instead of becoming a bitter, angry, vengeful person for all the stuff that had been done to him, he turned around. Pharaoh raised him to second in command. He had the opportunity to see his brothers who had sold him into slavery so many years before, see them show up looking for food during a famine. And at that moment, he could have commanded that they be killed. But he didn't. Why? Because he was like a branch connected to the vine that was going to bear good fruit. So he forgave his brothers. He put them through some tests, if you read the whole story. But he ended up forgiving his brothers. He ended up saving their families during a famine. He ended up sheltering and protecting them after they had done just the opposite to him. Do you see how the nourishment of God and the holiness and righteousness of God flowed through Joseph and can do the same thing in your life as you are connected? And what is the end result? There was a nation hundreds of years later for Moses to bring out of slavery, because they prospered in the land of Egypt, because Joseph was there. He was God's man and he was the protector. Joseph must have had quite a prayer bond. And isn't that an example for you and me? When we feel out of sorts and we feel abandoned and we feel like things aren't right, that where do you turn? Where do you turn? Can you do the same? Yes, you can. The I am who I am, it wants to be personal and available to you. To you in those moments where you feel left alone, where you feel like no one cares. Interesting thing is that Joseph didn't have a lot of say, even though he became great and a major character in the Bible. He didn't have a lot of say and a lot of opportunity to plan his life, did he? I know we live in a very independently minded society where everyone is supposed to plan their life and enjoy their life and live their life. Well, Joseph didn't have much chance, did he? He got shunted from one thing into another, and all he could do was hold on to God. And so let's remember, whether we feel we're free to plan our lives or whether things happen to us, we can still produce fruit, right? We can still produce fruit, the fruit of righteousness, and God will use it. To close, another example of fruit, first of all, Joseph from the far past, but up here on Thetis Island, it's another example of a ministry that arose as good fruit that was produced by God. The Cape Henry Harbor Bible School, it's a satellite of many other torchbearer Bible schools that are across the world. And I once had a chance to hear the founder, Major Ian Thomas, a British guy, preach over in Vancouver many years ago. And I remember his sermon mostly for this phrase, "I am in Christ, and Christ is in me." And it was this, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit." I could hear that coming through Major Ian Thomas. It's like his guidance by God led him to begin these Bible schools. It wasn't just his idea. It was God's idea. And when it's God's idea, it's going to last. It's going to save people. It's going to redeem them and restore them. What a wonderful thing. And that's not just, there's many other ministries and churches where that are the fruit of obedience by a founder. So, friends, we have this amazing God. I am who I am. And if you have received Jesus, like that woman I was describing, and you're working through whatever your life involves, that's great. That's wonderful. But if there's anyone here who has not yet taken that step, not yet realized that Jesus is personal and available to you, you have that opportunity. You have the opportunity to say, "Yeah, that's for me. I take your hand, Lord Jesus, and I receive what you've done for me on the cross. And when Easter comes, I'm going to celebrate your victory because your victory is my victory." And so, friends, we'd just like to pray a prayer that I have here. If there's anyone that has not received Jesus as your own Savior, here's a prayer that we'll pray with you. "Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Forgive my wrongdoing and wrong speaking and wrong thinking. Cleanse me and make me new. Connect me to yourself like a branch connected to the vine, so that my life may produce good fruit forever." If you've prayed a prayer like that for the first time, please help, let us be encouragement to you. Help us to help you. And feel free, if you would like more prayer, more explanation, talk to Einar, talk to me, talk to anyone that you've met here in church, so that you may feel included and part of the great I am. May your life be full and complete, regardless of what has happened to you. May God restore and change and renew whatever needs to be restored, changed, and renewed. He is the vine, we are the branches. If we abide in him and he remains in us, we will bear much fruit. And that fruit might be just inviting a neighbor over for coffee and providing a listening ear. That might be the kind of fruit that you bear and that God acknowledges and appreciates. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to invite the worship team to come up, and I just noticed we have some interesting little flyers up here called Becoming a Christian. So by all means, after the service, would you like, if you would like, you may take one of those.
Can I just share something?
Yes, Lily.
I believe God is my Lord, and he is, I am. But I want to share God answers prayer. And I feel we come together in worship, but we don't share what's happening. 2 weeks ago, a lady walked into the church, and I felt in my heart I should ask who she is. And I asked her, and she told me she's from South Africa, and she loves the Lord. And we connected right away. I took her number and her name, and then I was busy at home with my husband. He's very sick. But the Lord spoke to me on Saturday, oh, I have to phone that lady. So I called her, and I'm so glad I did. And I want to remind you, there are many people out there who are lonely and need to talk to somebody and need prayer. And I phoned her, and she was in a hospital. And I said, what's happening? And she says, they did tests and I need surgery. So I said, I'll promise you to pray. And I asked few people to pray for her. In a surgery, everything went well. And today, Colleen is here in church.
Praise God.
I praise God for it.
All right.
Praise God. I also want to say to you, it's so good when we're well to come to church. Don't forsake the fellowship of believer. We need one another. In times, in different times, you might get sick tomorrow, or you are sick, or you're lonely. Phone people. Take care for one another. That's why we're here. We have a job to do, and God will bless us for it when we do it, and that we would help each other to grow. I also want to send greetings from my husband. You all know he's not well. And just last night he said he thought today's communion, I would love to go to church so badly. So I said, honey, we'll see how you feel in the morning. But this morning he was not very well. So you can think of him and us. We're going through a difficult time. We love the Lord. He's with us. We know where we're going. But we need help and we need prayer, we need encouragement. We need to say to one another, we appreciate you and we love you. And may God bless you.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Lily. He is our sustainer and provider. All right, let's worship.